Blog Talk Radio.
When I pray the joyful mystery of the rosary, I think of Mary and how Jesus came to me. All she wanted was the Father's will and what had to be. When I pray the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, I think of Jesus praying for me in agony. And if that moment could pass, but he knew it had to be. And I believe in the Lord God Almighty, creator of this earth, and in Jesus Christ his only Son, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. When I pray the glorious mysteries of the rosary, I think of how he left the Holy Spirit so that we could still believe, so that we would desire to do the Father's will and what has to be. And I believe in the Lord God Almighty, creator of this earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. Our Father who art in heaven, hail Mary, full of grace.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of Our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do Journey with Mary to one of the places where she has made an appearance, and there have been quite a few. She started in 40 AD from our documented history and right up to present day. Absolutely. Now, you know, a few years ago, I didn't know anything about this and didn't have anything to believe in this area. I was not even Catholic, but I was working as a psychiatric therapist, and I still am. But I never had encountered anything like this with these visionaries and the apparitions, and so I dug into it, studied it, and was very impressed. Very impressed by the professionalism, the investigations, the science of it, the all the things that they've done to try to either debunk them or validate them. And all in all, it comes down to they found science they had not counted on and only validates the supernatural character of these visits. And we have noticed over time in doing these stories that there's quite a pattern, very specific pattern of behavior and messaging, and the way she appears and what she asks for is very similar from country to country, decade to decade, even century to century, which is impossible to make up because there's no way all these cultures and countries and different personalities would come up with the same details over and over and over and over, decade after decade. So it's very impressive. That's the stuff of reality. And so what we try to do is study it, bring it to you, bring the best details to you, and bring the messages and let you sort it out, see what you think. Maybe it's helpful, educational, inspirational, but whatever it is for you, it's not the reruns of the Beverly Hillbillies or something else that you could be doing at this time. So we like to think that this might be more useful. And certainly in my book, this is the most important thing we could be looking at, you know, at this time, is trying to understand what heaven's doing in sending Mary to alert us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us, and to ultimately all bring us back to Jesus and the church, because so many people have strayed away. So tonight we will return to Slovakia for part two, and this may go on to a part three because there's a lot of messages and things to cover tonight. We'll see how far we get. Before we do that, we will come to my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, the founder of Deeper Truth, and truly an inspiration to us all because of his hard work and thousands of articles he's put out, and probably 1,000 or more conversions he's helped people to make in their lives. So without further ado, here's my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you for that intro. I tell you, I had a blessed day today after Mass. I went to Mass, of course, and that in itself, I received Jesus' body, blood, soul, divinity. And there's no greater connection with our Lord than that right there. But also today, I met an order of nuns that I have just simply adopted. They are so awesome, and I have a representative of them on here tonight. And just something about what you were just talking about, Our Lady, and about the nuns, because when you think about what it says in Psalms 45. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Jesus likes stringed instruments. He likes stringed instruments. I love that. But it says, daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Orphil. And you know who the first queen of Israel was. It was Bathsheba. that was the mother of Solomon, King Solomon, who placed her in his court. And Mary, when the angel Gabriel appears to her, Kekertamini, hail full of grace. Oh, my goodness, there you go. And that right there makes Mary queen, biblically speaking. And then I think it's interesting here that it goes on, hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. And the king shall desire your beauty. And how many times, John, have we looked in some of the apparitions and these visions of Mary, how she is so beautiful. The people of Tyre will sue her for favor and gifts, the richest of the people with all kinds of wealth. I mean, the princess is decked out in her chamber with gold woven robes, in many colored robes, and is led to the king with her virgin companions. And I met some of her virgin companions today, and how wonderful that was for me. Then you go to Song of Solomon's chapter 6, verse 10. Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? And man, when I think of banners, I think, I mean, you know, the United States of America. Think about this. Psalms chapter 20, verse 5. May we shout for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Psalms 60, verse 4. Thou hast set up a banner for those who fear you to rally to it from the bow. And so what a wonderful thing that is. And I just love it. And, you know, oh, glory. I love that. And you go to Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath. And that's exactly what we're talking about here tonight, and that's what we do on Monday and Tuesday nights here. We're so excited about what the Lord is doing in his holy Catholic Church, in which he established a kingdom. And with Mary, Mother, Queen of Heaven, she is also our mother. You go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. It refers to her as our mother, the mother of those who proclaim Jesus. And so that's what we do. And so Mary is our mother. And I want to introduce Deanne, Ricky. I thought it was Ricky. And my phone just... Deanne, Ricky. Deanne, welcome to Deeper Truth, and how are you doing tonight?
I'm very well, and I'm excited because, John, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith as well, and it was the visions in Medjugorje that really just kind of sealed the deal for me. So this is awesome to be able to speak to you. And I also wanted to tell you that the sisters, the Poor of Jesus Christ, who you mentioned are originally from Brazil but have been in the United States for 20 years, their house in Kansas City is the house of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is perhaps my favorite Marian vision. So a lot of good tie-ins tonight.
Yeah, very nice. So glad to have you with us.
Oh, that is amazing, and that is amazing. Like I said, I've kind of adopted the sisters because, and the more I read in their pamphlet, your pamphlet there, Deanne, the more Deeper Truth you are. You are Deeper Truth, because that's what we're all about, is evangelization and street ministry. Oh, it is. It is so cool.
Sure.
Mike from New Jersey, what you got?
Well, I'm wondering something, and I wonder if your guests can answer this. You know, there are so many religious orders of nuns and priests and brothers and so on. You have the Sisters of the Poor. You have the Sisters of the Poor in Jesus Christ. You have the Sisters of Mercy. I was taught by them in school, and some of us thought they were misnamed, but that's beside the point.
I love that.
Is there some kind of a central clearinghouse that so that you know you don't you don't name your order and then drive down the road about 500 miles and there's another order of the same name that does something totally different. Is there a clearinghouse that keeps you all sorted out?
I think they serve under the bishop, right?
A layman like us would be able to type in a list or a name of an order, and the internet would bring up the order and all of the things they do and so forth and so on. Or if you're looking for a order that does thus and such, you could even list it that way. You know, we have the capacity to do that through the internet. Is there anything out there that in existence?
Well, I'm not a canonical lawyer, but I do know that this order, the Poor of Jesus Christ, which they have an order of friars as well. They serve together. They, up until this point, they have just served under the bishop. And as I understand it, they are now going through some type of a qualification process to be recognized formally by Rome. But not all orders have that recognition. And that doesn't answer your question because I know very little about it. But I don't know if there's a GoDaddy for the Catholic Church where you can figure out, has this name already been registered? I don't know.
If they're not recognized, that is not recognized by Rome, how do they operate?
I'm not sure how it works. I think you get the permission of your archbishop. It's not that they're not. I mean, they're a formal Franciscan order. I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't really know about how all that works.
We have Kathy from Missouri, Bourbon, Missouri. How are you doing, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Hi, Mike. Hi, everybody. Hi, John. Hi to
Hello.
Our guests. I forget your name, but welcome. Glad you're here.
Deanne.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and
nice to meet you, Kathy. I wasn't sure if you had a question that you were addressing to me about the sisters, the Poor of Jesus Christ, or have you heard of them? Are you aware of the sisters, the Poor of Jesus Christ?
I am not. What is your mission?
Our charism is to serve the poor in all their many faces, and so that presents in several ways. Twice a week on Tuesdays and Saturdays, we load up food and we caravan and we take food to the homeless throughout Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. We literally climb up under overpasses, go, in the woods, go to the different homeless encampments around the city. And, our founder, Padre Gilson, would say the food is just an excuse. What we really are trying to do is to let the homeless in our community know that they are loved, that they have a value, that they have dignity, that they are not forgotten, and that we want to help them. Originally in Brazil, the order was founded because Padre Gilson was a diocesan priest at the time, and he was going in to serve Mass in his church. And he was so frustrated that there were a lot of homeless that were, laying and sleeping in front of the church, and the churchgoers would just step around them, act like they weren't even there. And he was very bothered by that. So he felt a separate calling, and initially he and a nun rented a house near the church, and they just started inviting the homeless in. to build community, because so many of the homeless are suffering from addiction and mental illness, and they need help, they need support. It's a really difficult problem. I was drawn to the order because I have a member of my family who suffers from pretty severe mental illness, and whenever I start to feel a little frustrated, you know, like, why don't you just get off drugs? Why can't you just stop drinking? I just look at the homeless and I think that could be the member of my family very easily. If this person didn't have the support of a family that my family member has, he would very easily be out on the street, because we just don't have the support for our mentally ill that we need. So I don't know. That's a long story, but that's just one thing we do is minister to the homeless.
Can I ask how do they respond? How do the homeless respond to your efforts?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, just yesterday, I was speaking to a man and he just started crying and he said, you know, I don't know why I'm out here partying. I know, you know, I lost my family. My wife told me that she was going to leave me. And I just said, you know, you can conquer this addiction. You can do it, but you can't do it without Jesus. You can't do it without Jesus. And then we just prayed together. And, you know, sometimes I'll see the same person on the street over and over again. Sometimes I'll see them. Oh, this is a great story. One time I was at an event at my church in Westport, and it was a very small event, and a priest came with this guy, and I said, oh, my gosh, you look familiar. And then I realized it was someone that I had been ministering to out on the streets for a year or two. He had gotten his life together. He had kicked his addiction, and now he, you know, was going to church. He had a home. So there are good news stories, and it just, you know, in this world.
That's great. Well done, well done. That's great.
Oh, it is. And while I was there, I got a chance to meet Sister Miracles. She'd been with that order for like 16 years. I mean, she's a veteran in doing this kind of work. And Sister Rosemary as well. And so it was a blessing to me to meet you all, Deanne. And to talk with
you. And they're
you
young,
today.
Right? That's what's kind of surprising to me, is that you've got this vibrant order, and they're young, because I always think of nuns as being, you know, 70-ish.
Yeah.
And these women are young. And, oh, the poor things, they're trying to raise money because their convent is old and it is flooding and their sewage is backing up and it's enormously expensive to fix. So that's why they're trying to hurriedly sell. They're going to have to sell a lot of rosaries for that.
So Donald, if somebody wanted to donate to their cause, how could they do that listening to our program?
Well, first of all, Deanne, what can you give them an address that they can contact and donate? www.sisterspoorofjesuschrist.com. So you can go to www.sisterspoorofjesuschrist.com, and that way you can contact them and offer a donation and what they help.
They've got a store that you can click on at that website. You can learn more about the order. And there's also a tab that's a store, and you can go in and either purchase something, and then that would help them raise money, or you could even make a donation, a cash donation, in their store via, I think, PayPal or Venmo or something, online, and that's another way that you could help contribute.
That's great.
I do too. I want to challenge all the Knights of Columbus out there listening to us tonight to think about this kind of thing, because that's a part of our outreach as members of the Knights of Columbus. This is what they're doing. They're, you know, as you know, they become the Lord's hands when they go out and serve the poor like they're doing. They become our hands as well. When they go to these places, they become the feet. They become the Lord's feet when they go where he calls them to go. And they are going for us as well in doing this kind of work. And so we become a part of that. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And they also have retreats for the youth, young adults. And they've had just great success at rescuing youth who have, not everyone that goes to these retreats is suffering from any kind of addiction, but some of them are. But many of them are just in risky situations, high-risk situations. And even if they haven't been engaged in, using, listening to the stories of those, teens and 20-somethings who are now battling that addiction really is a powerful witness of what to avoid. And they get to see how insidious the evil can be. So they have retreats for both couples, for youth, for men specifically that are trying to remain sober. I mean, they have a lot of different ministries, but mostly it's around addiction, even prostitution. They have a ministry to minister to women that have no choice but to use their bodies to support themselves.
Mm.
All right.
Well, we try to get them out of. Yeah, yeah. And that's what.
Thank you, sister.
Wonderful. That's wonderful work. And that's something that we are all. And we have Doc from Tennessee. Doc, how are you doing, buddy?
I am happy and blessed and better than I deserve. And sister, what is your name again? I'm sorry.
Actually, I wish I was a sister. I'm a lay associate, which is like a third order Franciscan. My name is Deanna Rickey.
Hi, Deanna. Coming from somebody who was homeless, and you mentioned dangerous situation. I can tell you firsthand, being homeless is an extremely dangerous situation. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your ministry.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah, I mean, it's rough on the streets. They are, they don't have shelter. It's rough. So I'm really sorry, but it sounds like you were able to, it was just a temporary thing for you. How did you pick yourself back up?
I actually wound up in jail. It was for a crime I didn't commit. Believe it or not, I was over 18. Miners robbed the house. I was there. They charged me. But it gave me a time to reflect on my life. And I actually wrote down every action I made for the last 6 months. And funny thing, there was no mention of God in that entire book. And when I read it back, I saw one mistake after another. And when you're homeless, you don't have any friends or family or support group to tell you you're stepping on your toes, so to speak. So I had to step out of myself. And, I did get in with God, thanks to my wife. I went down a very bad path for a very long time. But I have turned it around. I like to think I'm a better man than I ever attempted to be, and I still got a long way to go before I consider myself a good man.
Well, that's an amazing story.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was a combat medic like I was, and he served a lot of people in the it's a ministry when you're out there helping others, saving lives. We have another caller with area code 713. Can you give us your first name and where you're calling from, please? 713.
Sure. This is Terry Delp. I'm calling
Hi, Terry.
From Ohio. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Outstanding. Good. Good to hear from you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I kind of, I'm glad I tuned in tonight because the Brothers of St. Dismas in Houston, Texas, you know, they do a lot of the going out and feeding the poor. And I had a question for the guests because, in Houston is a, it's a lot of sex trafficking that goes on. So before we, the first time when we hit the streets, you know, we had a lot of, you know, sisters with us. And we went through, you know, like a, it was kind of like a training of how to make sure that two guys were always with the ladies to make sure they don't get in trouble. Do you have problems like that in Kansas City?
I would, it's a great question and a good point. I would never go out on the streets without without friars with us, and that's the men, right? That's why I said the sisters and friars, they serve together, and we do these street ministries together because it's rough. I mean, God always protects us, and so I'm never afraid. But yeah, you got to be careful.
Right, right. And that's what we did in our before we went out there. We had a little training, and there was a group, I forget the name of the group, but they you know, they've actually it's a Catholic group that goes out and tries to rescue kidnapped girls and stuff, and they were telling us, you know exactly how to do it in a secure manner, you know, but we had a lot of success out there. Like you said, we would just pull up into the encampments that have the little tents and stuff set up, and we'd have prepackaged bags and with like hygiene supplies and food and whatnot, and just go out tent to tent passing it out, you know.
That's wow. Amazing.
And Brothers of St. Dismas, they're all ex-convicts. Everybody that was a part of that were all ex-convicts trying to give back to the community.
Wow, what a beautiful ministry.
I have to tell you that my brother here, he has been twice pardoned. He has been literally twice pardoned. And I am so thankful. So that's what I call it. In fact, I've got you on interview, and I'll bring that up. I'll bring that interview and repost it and bring it back out because that was a very powerful interview there. And so,
well,
Terry,
that's one additional,
you know,
ministry. The Poor of Jesus Christ. We go into the prisons. I've only been once because then COVID hit and we weren't able to go in. I think it was the most profound thing I've ever done. It was really powerful. Because, like I said, once you have family members that have been through mental illness and have been arrested and have been in jail and have been in prison, then every person you see could be your family member. You no longer judge, you know. You just don't judge anymore. And boy, as
well,
you get older,
sister,
right, you realize there, but before the grace of God go me or my sons or my brother.
You know, if it wasn't for people like that dedicate their time and energy to our Lord Jesus Christ and decide to go into such a dark place as prison, I would have never learned about the Catholic faith. I would have never became Catholic, and I probably would have died in prison. You don't always get to see the fruits of your labor, but when y'all go into them prisons and bring the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Catholic Church, there's always somebody listening. And you know, you make a profound difference was made in my life.
Wow. Well, you just definitely made my day. Nothing makes me happier. I mean, I think the whole world, if we would all just love each other and go help each other, right? I mean, sitting watching TV is not going to make you feel better. We have to go out and serve.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah. So yeah, you met the church in prison?
Well, Don can tell you this. I broke my back a week ago. I'm not paralyzed. I'm up and getting up and moving around. And all I could do for like a week is sit and watch TV, and I can't stand it.
Oh, I'm not going to say I never watch TV, but boy, you can go down some rabbit holes quick, can't you?
No kidding. Oh, kidding.
Well,
you got any recommendations for us?
I do recommend, because I had a stroke, and because of that stroke, I was told to sit, lay back, and watch good Westerns. So Rawhide is great. I love Rawhide. And by the way, Clint Eastwood is Catholic, and he goes to daily Mass. I love
he
that.
Does.
There you go. There you go.
Yes.
Donald, and so I like to go to YouTube and watch all the old Fulton Sheen videos. That is so good.
Yes.
And I'm sure he is. The Fulkenstein? I don't know what those are.
Fulton Sheen, Bishop Fulton Sheen. You got to
search Fulton Sheen. Oh, of course.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I misunderstood you. Yes, and I'm sure you've seen The Chosen, right? I'm sure you've seen The Chosen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's a FultonSheen.com, a library of his broadcasts. I have it. It's the first app on my phone. I do suggest anybody who likes Fulton Sheen, go. I do suggest you download that. Take a minute. There's a one that you can pay for, and you have access to the full library, but the free one gives you so much information. The man was remarkable. It's a free app to anybody. I do suggest you get it.
If you didn't know who Fulton Sheen was and you were just listening in, you would think
he's
was
awesome.
A bishop in this day and age, because the words
he's
said
awesome.
Back then are still on point today.
They sure are.
He had the number one TV show in the land for over a decade. Beat out
the
Lucy, everything. By the way,
and here at Deeper Truth, we got the number one podcast radio on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm excited about that. We have been for
Don,
a long time.
John?
Yes, Mike.
No.
Yes, Mike.
Bishop Fulton Sheen won the Emmy for 1952 the best television personality. He beat out people like Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
And when he went up to accept his award, he said, "I'd like to thank my four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John."
I love that. I love that. Deanne, now you said that you're a convert to the Catholic Church. What was you before you became Catholic? What did you convert from? What was you before?
I was a heathen. I grew up in a family that a lovely family, but absolutely no religion. I wasn't baptized. My brother's still not baptized. We never went to church, not once. So I had, nothing.
Wow. And how did you come across Medjugorje? How did Medjugorje come? How did that happen?
Well, I had two girlfriends when I was growing up that were Catholic. And so anybody that's listening, please, take your kids' friends to Mass with you. I would sleep over on a Saturday night occasionally with my girlfriends when I was growing up, and their families would take me to Mass. And I was fascinated because I didn't have any religion. I didn't think about God. I never heard of Jesus. But the beauty of the Catholic Mass, and my girlfriends had these pretty necklaces with these sparkly beads, but you couldn't wear them. And they had something to do with mysteries. And so that was my introduction to the Catholic faith. And then when I got to college, I went to the University of Kansas, and they had a strong presence on campus. And I walked into an RCIA class, and I didn't start at the beginning. I just happened to wander in, and the priest was showing, this was in the late 80s, early 90s, and the priest was showing a grainy black and white video of these children in this little tiny village in some far-off land called Yugoslavia. These children claimed that they were seeing a vision of Mary, and I watched as they all dropped to their knees at the same time and their eyes looked up, and I was transfixed. And I started learning about that, and I just thought to myself, these are children. They pick tobacco. Why would they lie? And they are in a communist country, and they are being persecuted. Why would they lie?
Still are.
They're still being persecuted. And that was it for me. I just thought, they are not lying. And if they're not lying, boy, that changes everything.
Well, you know, the head Catholic exorcist of the 1990s and Pope St. John Paul II both said that Medjugorje was an extension of Fatima, and that that Medjugorje was round against Satan. And I mean, it just, and I believe, I was at Medjugorje and the things I saw. And I've had people, you know, try to tell me other, and there's no way, no way. And so, because you can't tell me the things that I witnessed and experienced was all in my own mind, but at the same time.
No. Oh no, and I've been to Mexico City twice. I have the Tilma. I have a painting, or an image of the Tilma over my fireplace. I mean, it's just so sad for me and so frustrating that how can you not believe when you, like John said at the beginning, when you really study this, they've scienced the heck out of it, right? I mean, I don't know how it can't be moving to you. Go down to Mexico City. I mean, how many millions of people a year, you learn about the Tilma and you're like, this can't be possible.
It's not humanly. They can't even duplicate it. They cannot duplicate it. Our Lady of Guadalupe, the eyes, the magnification of the eyes 500 times, and you can see the image of several individuals in the reflection of the eyes, to include a pregnant Aztec lady in sitting in the background, and Juan Diego. I mean, you know, there's just amazing things. And there's so much about that. And we've talked about that. We've talked about all of this here on this journey with Mary, because John has done so much work. And what we do is John will present he'll present like what we got tonight, and then I will come back and give a biblical background about it as well to show biblically.
Yeah, John, what are you talking about tonight? Are you talking about Chuck Jehovah, or who are you talking? Which one are you talking about? I'm really excited to hear.
Well, we're running out of time, but it was Slovakia we were going to, and it was part two. We started it last week, and I've studied 101, actually going on 102 now, different apparition stories, and that sounds like a lot for most Catholics, but it's only 4% of the documented ones listed, 2,600 some that are documented over time. And in fact, Donald and I were just talking last week it was June 22nd. Mary appeared over a Marian shrine, a Catholic shrine in Nigeria. And there are photos of this, which I've already been doing photo analysis on. And I was telling Donald, I was really excited because if it were just clouds or something or some kind of vision of light, I wouldn't have gotten what I got when I worked on it. because what I do is I don't add anything to the pictures, but I try to like decrease the brightness and bring out detail and just kind of do analysis of the photo. And this image of Mary in the sky, when I worked on it, all of a sudden, where the face would be, became flesh tones. Where the soul would be, turned blue. And it was like, okay, this is no cloud. So,
wow. Does it look like the Zaytun photos in Egypt?
Yeah, very similar. Very similar, yes. Yeah, and I sent Donald the three photos. I don't know if he ever got them.
Yes.
Did you ever get those?
I did. I did get them, and I looked at them. I did look at those, and they are very familiar.
What'd you think? Yeah.
Well, it makes me want to know more about the story because it's just now happening. It's just now happening.
Right, it's just now happening. And over 100 people have witnessed her, including some non-Catholics and Protestants and priests and, you know, so a variety of people, but over 100 witnessed this. And she moved through the sky from one location to another. So it was not like a fixed image in the sky. It was moving. And I'm not sure quite how long it lasted, but all we have is a couple paragraphs. And I've looked and looked and looked, and I haven't found anything new yet. But because of the Internet, we're able to get stuff suddenly a lot faster. In fact, I've never, ever heard of an apparition within a week after it happened. That is a first. Some of them take 10, 20 years to hear all the details. So to hear it in a week is just like, okay, this is great. So anyway, we'll get to that one when we get more information, and hopefully it will continue and more will happen there, because with Zaytun, it went on for 4 years, and estimated 40 million people saw her by the time it was all over, including President Nasser of Egypt and the entire investigating committee. I love that part. They all went out to see what it was all about, and they all saw her. So, okay, that was approved.
Wow. Wow.
1 month.
Yeah. In 1 month's time, it was approved.
And I will say this right here.
Hey, Donald,
and I'll say this.
Can I interject some?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead there, Terry. Go ahead, Terry.
So I had just got COVID, right? So I missed 2 Sundays of Mass, and in that period, we got our new priest here at St. Luke's and everything. So I went back for the first time today. 2 weeks seemed like forever to
wow.
me to be away from our Lord. But I went back this morning, and during the announcement, this lady, she said, since the grace of God that overturned Roe versus Wade, that there's this ministry, I forget which one, I think it was St. Vincent de Paul, and they're sponsoring
yeah.
these ladies that are doing like, they got 30, pregnancy centers for ladies that are pregnant to help them through their journey, right? And so next week they're going to be having this little shindig after Mass in the Kramer Hall, and you know, so this and that, and dude, tears just came to my eyes, man, to see Catholics stepping up and actively participating in life. You know what I'm saying? It just brought tears to my eyes. And when, you know, I'm hearing, you know, listening to y'all, it was talking about the Marian apparitions and this and that. I mean, the grace of God, we've seen it in our lifetime. Roe versus Wade is overturned. And now I'm seeing
yes.
more and more Catholic, brothers and sisters and religious orders stepping up into the gap to actively mothers. You know, so we get so much criticism about that, you know, we're pro-birth, not pro-life. But that's not true, man. You know what I'm saying? There's a Catholic center for everything on every corner. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So anyway, I just wanted to interject and sprinkle that in there so it put a smile on everybody's face, and hopefully everybody will say a Hail Mary and ask Mary to intercede for young women that are just unsure. They've been lied to by society to think that murder's okay, and just to ask Mary to be by their side to pray for them, you know.
Amen. And I'll tell you this, we'll have the Hail Mary twice tonight because John will do it in English, and then Kathy will do it in Latin. That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I want to throw something into what you were just saying. It sounds like righteous masculinity, men are starting to step up, and that's a good thing, and it's what we need, and we need more of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And here at Deeper Truth, we got a lot of that, and I love it. I love it. I love it. And so I'm so thankful. I'm very thankful. And I'm thankful for all the callers tonight and all the listeners. And I do want to invite anybody out there who can give them a little pledge of support to the Sisters of the Poor of Jesus Christ, because they came to our church today, and that's how I met Deanne today. And I'm so thankful I met you today there, Deanne. And thank you for coming on. And you know, that's not always easy when you think about coming on radio like this. But it did. Oh, and we just lost Kathy.
Well,
so
say the Hail Mary in Spanish if you want another language.
Okay. That works.
Okay.
That works. That
hey,
works.
Donald,
that works.
Hey, Donald,
to
add a little bit to what you were saying, because there's a lot of Catholics out there that I know personally, and that even myself, like, you know, if you're in a city where you've got a liberal bishop who doesn't act Catholic at all, you know, a lot of people don't want to give money to them. But remember, there's a Catholic religious order somewhere around that you can give that money to.
Amen.
Like this one. Like this one. In fact, they're called the Sisters of the Poor of Jesus Christ. I've kind of adopted them to the Sisters of the Deeper Truth. And
well,
you,
I
you
don't
look
know
at
where
the,
all
I mean,
your listeners are, but they also have houses in New York City, in Baltimore, Atlanta, and Los Angeles. So if anyone is listening and you know, you live in those cities, Poor of Jesus Christ, and then just, you know, Google from
those
your
are all
community.
Definitely cities where faithful Catholics will be thinking twice about giving to the bishop. So think about giving to these sisters.
Amen.
Yeah, they can. Oh, yes, and I do want to, all the Knights of Columbus out there, I'm going to raise that challenge to you guys to do that. They came to our church today, and they gave a very good presence. Go ahead.
Deanne, what was the moment that you knew you wanted to be Catholic? What was that moment like for you?
That I knew I wanted to be Catholic?
Yeah.
Is that what? Oh, well, you know, we're not like Protestants, right? Where you, it's not like you can say on June 8th at 7:30 in the morning, I, you know, I accepted the Lord into my heart. But really watching that video was, I think the pieces just clicked and I was just stunned. And I joined the church. So
video.
I, do
that
you?
Was
I joined.
Spirit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love that video.
I'd like to see it again. I haven't really been able to find the one I remember, at least. But this was – so I was baptized in 1989, March 25th, 1989. I was 21 years old.
Thank God.
And but it was a journey. I mean, it's still a journey. I mean,
right.
I wasn't that faithful of a Catholic. Really, you know what drove me to my knees, and I started saying the rosary every day, was September 11th. Because I had two little babies, and I just thought, what is the world coming to? I can't protect them. And so, really, that's one fruit of that terrible tragedy. That remember when everyone went back to church? Remember how lovely it was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You should have never stopped going.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know,
that's a sad thing.
If you're a practicing Catholic, I will be practicing until the day I die.
Yeah.
Amen. Speaking of which, I love this. Tonight was so awesome. I think, John, next week we'll probably try this again next week, going back to Slovakia.
Well, I've learned to go with the flow, and our discussion was so interesting tonight and so many good questions that I thought, well, this is very useful information for everyone out there, and the stories of Mary will always keep. That's not going to go away or disappear, you know. But this discussion tonight was timely and interesting, and our guest has made it a very lively and interesting discussion. And I think it's something we all relate to. Like when I converted, it wasn't a certain day or time. It was a journey, but I became Catholic just in 2010, you know, not that long ago, just 12 years. Wow. And, you know, I caught fire and wrote books and did lectures and presentations.
Was there a turning point for you? Was it learning about the apparitions?
Well, actually, no. I became Catholic, and then I started studying them. And interesting thing, RCIA was interesting, but they just kind of briefly mentioned the apparition. Well, as a psychological therapist, I was like, wait a minute. I want to know more about this. And so I started studying it on my own, and then it caught fire because I started reading stuff and realizing, whoa, this is all the same thing happening over and over in different countries. And then I really took off, and as Donald knows, I went way far too quick for most people, because I'd go to my fellow Catholic, do you know about this, and Garabandal, do you know about this, and Medjugorje, and they go, what, huh?
Well, and the sisters can tell me about all of the ones in South America, because we don't hear as much about them. We hear more about the European apparitions, you know.
I even got flown to Brazil, Belo Horizonte. Belo Horizonte.
Okay.
I got flown there just a couple years ago and did a talk on this for about 200 people that wanted to hear about it, all the truth and real science and all that stuff with apparitions and Eucharistic miracles. And they ate it up. They ate it up. It was great. That's the thing. My goal was to spread the information as much as I could to as many people and places. And I started out with an email newsletter. And then Donald had me come in 2014. And we've been doing the show every Sunday since then. So that's 8 going on 9 years, I guess, every Sunday night. And, we've reached, we counted up, Donald, and it was well over 130 countries this show is going out to. Yeah, we've tracked it.
Wow.
So, Deanne, you are talking to about 130 countries around the world right now.
Oh, well, the sisters are in other countries, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it's a beautiful
website. Give that website one more time.
It's Sisters Poor of Jesus Christ KC for Kansas City. But if you're in other countries, they're in, would you say 12 different countries now? Just to put this into
12.
Context, Padre Gilson founded this order 25 years ago. And as I understand it, they have more, members than I believe Mother Teresa's houses had. So it is exploding. There is such a need, and it's pretty amazing. Poor of Jesus Christ.
I got a chance to meet a number of them today, and that was a blessing for me. I probably freaked some of them out, you know.
I don't surprise that, that's okay. me.
Yeah, that surprised me. That's your style.
Yeah, they wanted to come on themselves tonight, but Friday is, or Sunday's obviously their day of rest, and their founder is very firm about resting on Sundays. So,
Yeah.
Well, sister, I knew what it's like to catch fire as a convert.
And the archive. See, the archive, you can share the show with them later on. You can share this with them later.
Oh, excellent. Yes, I will do that. That'll make them happy.
Tell her how to get there to the archive.
Well, archive, Deeper Truth Radio. Just Deeper Truth Radio. And this is called Deeper Truth.
Do I have to listen to my own voice, though? Do I have to listen to my own voice? How do I cut that out? Ugh.
No. We're glad. We're thankful you were here. And this is Blessed Mary reportedly appears in Slovakia, so it'd be easy. I put down part three here. But it'd be easy to catch on. It's all on archive. And it'd be there forever.
Yep.
And we have people, if they have the internet, they could hear us all over the world. We had a seminary of priests in Africa that we were supporting. And that was really cool, too. We were supported them big time when they were attacked by Muslims, terrorists. And
wow.
So, you know, you never, when our word, when we get out there and we reach those, the farthest ends of the earth, you know. And so that's what we were trying to do with the gospel, with the Catholic faith. So
Mary's everywhere, right? I mean,
That's right.
Mary doesn't care what religion you are.
No, she doesn't care if you believe or go to church or anything.
She'll make you Catholic. She does. She'll make you Catholic. She'll make you Catholic because she wants to introduce you to her son. She wants to introduce you to her son.
Do you guys know who Immaculate Ila Bagiza is?
Oh yeah, she's coming to our
Immaculate
town, Springfield.
I went to Mexico City on pilgrimage with Immaculate a couple of times,
nice.
And she cracks me up because she was when Mary started appearing in Cabejo, Immaculate was I think in grade school at the time, and so mad that Mary didn't appear to her. She
right.
had been praying so hard for Mary to appear to her.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
Well,
he's appearing in Cabejo? What? To other school children? Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't you
Immaculate,
agree?
If your readers don't know her and her books. Oh, my gosh. She's a saint on earth. She's amazing.
Well, Deanne, wouldn't you agree? After I met her, I felt like I'd met the Virgin Mary. She's humble. She's generous. She's kind. She's sweet. She's, you know, doesn't she just fit that persona?
I could not agree more. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. She is truly, I've never met anyone. Like, you read about the saints, and you just know that someday somebody is going to be reading about Immaculate, you know, Saint Immaculate. So to be able to spend time with her is, it's just, there's nothing better.
Well, this
she
is
does
amazing.
Pilgrimages
about,
all over too.
You and,
so you should, if, you,
you
know,
and Donald, you and Donald and the sisters or whoever in your order there ought to carpool down to Springfield, Missouri. It's only 2.5 hours, and she is appearing in our Catholic high school, Immaculate, all day Saturday, August 27th. That's August
27th.
Yes,
Immaculate's
going to
be there?
Yeah.
Springfield?
We've got her coming. Yep, one of our groups here got her. And she'll be talking from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And she will be here. And trust me, that's an incredible, incredible opportunity.
Oh, I will bring the sisters because I don't know if they've seen her, if they've met her. I can't remember. No, maybe.
Well,
I mean,
need
you know,
to.
She's all over. But
yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. So
I got to meet.
Hey,
yeah.
My,
I don't. Does your show
email.
End at 9?
Well, it's supposed to, but
yeah.
we go to whenever. Anyway,
yeah.
Deanne, write my email down, and I don't care who gets this because I answer all emails. But,
okay.
So you can reach me about more information on that. It's Carpenter, Carpenter, like a builder, Carpenter. 2655 at AOL.com.
Okay.
So write me about that, and I'll keep you up on the information and website and everything so you can make plans. And, Donald, you should come down with them.
I may just do that. I may just do that.
Well, you just might. You just probably should.
I've adopted them.
I'll take that as a yes.
I've adopted them. The sisters of
Thank
the
you,
deeper
Donald,
truth.
For coming down with them. That's great. Donald will be here and maybe do a show live from Springfield. There we go. How about that?
Well, gentlemen, thank you
so much for having me. I have to sign off, but I also wanted to especially thank the gentleman who mentioned the importance of our prison ministry, and thank you for that. That was really meaningful to me, and it's been a delight. I hope to be invited back someday, and thank you for all you've done to help us raise money for the sisters.
You're part of Deeper Truth now, so you're welcome.
Excellent.
Anytime. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to end this with a song, and I'm going to dedicate it to you all, to the good sisters.
So I'm dedicating this song that I'm playing.
And so you might want to hear it.
Hold on.
Or you will.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. We got to do our worldwide Hail Mary. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so join with me now all around the world saying a Hail Mary. All our voices will join in unison and rise up to heaven, making heaven smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary. Full of grace.
Full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you all for joining tonight. It was a wonderful discussion.
Oh, yeah. You want me to say
Diana,
it in Spanish?
Say it in Spanish.
Okay. Dios te salve, María. Llena eres de gracia. El Señor es contigo. Bendita eres entre todas las mujeres y bendito es el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros los pecadores ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén.
Oh,
amén. Awesome.
Well,
all your
the song that I'm the song that I'm playing is in honor of the sisters and everybody here. It's called Back to the Street.
Ooh.
And so we'll catch you next time. Back to the Street. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.